Please remember this is an adults-only podcast and does contain some very sensual themes. So please, only listen to this podcast if you are happy to explore your deepest sensual fantasies with me and are of a suitable age. Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Wild in Bed, your Sunday night destination for sexy stories, sensuous sensations, and filthy fantasies. Now, you know this podcast is best enjoyed laying on your bed. You can just go ahead and put your earbuds in, close your eyes, and surrender to the pleasure of my voice. This week we're going to be doing a little dark, paranormal, erotic story, as Halloween is coming up. So when you're ready, just go ahead and take a deep breath. Hold it for a moment. And then release it with a sigh. Letting go of any tension, any stress. For the next 30 minutes or so, it's just you and my voice. This is your time. Your time to relax. Your time for sensuous satisfaction. As you listen to Entwined in Blood. Andrew surveyed the skyline of the city as his hands grasped at the railing of the balcony. He could still remember the first day he arrived here, when there were no bright lights, no skyscrapers, no cars, and the million-plus population had been a scarce 25,000. Things had been so much easier then. Life was brutal and typically short. For someone like him, he could go unnoticed with ease. But now, he had to explain his wealth. There were son of a bitches being paid just to poke around into his finances, his assets, and to investigate every suspicious death. Life was much tougher now, despite the growing numbers of people. Like tonight, he had better things to do than talk to this bloody cop. Who the hell was she? Like a predator looking for a fresh kill. She'd been stalking him for weeks, prying into every aspect of his life, and all because one little paedophile happened to die. He could smell her hunger. His grip tightened on the railing. Not tonight. Tonight he had to appear normal. He had to appear human. He could no longer dispense with the annoying gnats of humanity as he wanted. The gentle rumble of traffic 42 stories below irritated his senses. Things had been so much quieter. Yes, you had the screams of people as they met a brutal end, the endless bar fights. Now the noises were the metal boxes on wheels, another thing that made his life just more difficult. Though entirely unneeded and unwanted, he nonetheless had one. It would look out of place not to. But he didn't need it and only used it when he might be seen travelling. On nights like this, when it was moonless, when dark shrouded every corner, he had absolutely no need for the preposterous metal coffin on wheels. These humans had spilled out over the land like a virus. They had destroyed so much and yet sought to punish anything that destroyed them. Anything that was different. They were arrogant. They were self-centered. They were food. Turning from the glare of the city, Andrew returned to his penthouse. One advantage of this modern world had been the homes. Gone were the dusty cellars and damp-ridden castles. The penthouse was spotlessly clean and comfortable. One such luxury he had learned to enjoy over the years. His shoes echoed through the quiet penthouse suite as he walked over the hardwood floor, standing for a moment in front of the log fire that did little to warm him. Like most things in his existence, any meagre warmth was transient, made the more so by time meaning nothing to him. What were a few minutes when you already had been on this wretched planet for over 600 years? The flames reflected in his black eyes, memories rising behind them. Memories of those years in New Orleans, when the air had stank of the burning bodies of his brethren. Without thinking, Andrew rubbed a wide scar on his arms. The humans had known back then. They had understood and for years had learned to live alongside his kind. But then the churches came. The religion that deemed his kind evil. Forgotten were the agreements, the promises. Forgotten was the protection of the population as a whole. They started worrying about the few and forgot the many. A few lives were saved every year, but hundreds more were lost to wars and battles. It had been so much better than they were in charge. Shaking his head, this was not the night for mourning those he had lost. This was the night for putting this curse behind him for once and for all. This curse that was Detective Jennifer Hopkins. The name that caused him to wince at a betrayal that had happened centuries ago. Friends, comrades who had sold them down the river at the first opportunity. His kind had given them the ultimate gift, a timeless existence for their loyalty. And they repaid with the unending fires that destroyed all but Andrew, alone for the rest of time, because of the betrayal of this blood. Pulling the cuff of his shirt sleeve tight and straightening his cufflinks, he regained his composure. He hated this woman with a passion he hadn't felt in years. Her hard-headed arrogance, her belligerence to all that had gone before. That fire in her eyes. The gentle curve of her breast, the silky skin on her neck that was so inviting. It had been so many years since he had tasted a woman fully. To drink of all her life essence. Modern life had certainly fucked up that for him. Not a single virginal sacrifice in over 300 years. The phone rang with a single tone. She was downstairs. Time for him to drip charisma. Picking up the receiver, the voice of the elderly concierge echoed,
"Detective Hopkins to see you, sir. She says she has an appointment."
"Very good. I'm expecting her. Send her up." Positioning himself opposite the elevator doors, his body set in a way that was meant to be imposing and throw her off guard. The door slid open, and for the first time in 300 years, Andrew looked into the familiar gaze of a Hopkins soul. With a ghost of a smile, he gestured her to come inside. "Detective Hopkins, a pleasure. I have heard so much about you. Please, come in, make yourself at home."
"Mr. Strigoi, thank you for seeing me. There is much we need to talk about."
Andrew stood in the doorway of his home, his eyes fixated on the woman from his past, the woman he'd once been promised to, the woman he'd hated for 300 years, the woman he'd once loved. "Can I offer you a drink? Wine, water, tea?" he asked, his mind adding, "Poison, acid."
"I'm fine," she said, taking a seat on the corner sofa.
"How can I help you?" His voice dripped forced cheeriness.
"There was an unfortunate death recently of a one Liam Charter. A very bloody, gruesome death. I wonder if you'd heard about it."
Her eyes narrowing as she spoke. "Well, yes, I've seen it on the news. Very sad affair. I believe he was a paedophile. That's all I know, I'm afraid." His voice full of what he hoped sounded like sadness.
"He was a paedophile, it's true, but he was also about to give evidence against a child trafficking ring. Unfortunately, he died before we could get the case to court. But he didn't die at the scene. What we held back was that he died 3 hours later. We were able to keep him alive with the blood supply, as his body had almost entirely drained of blood."
"Shocking," Andrew said, his voice having no need to pretend, as he was definitely surprised. He had felt his life pulse drift to nothing. He had watched the man die. He had drained him completely. How could this be?
It was lucky, because he managed to give us some information about his attacker. Have you ever heard the word Rogaru, Mr. Strigoi? I've not heard it from anyone's lips but my own in over 300 years, but we don't need to mention that. Andrew thought to himself. No, what does it mean? He asked, wondering if she knew. Could she remember? It means werewolf or vampire, a man who changes himself and drinks blood. She said in a cold, matter-of-fact kind of way. Interestingly, it hasn't really been used in a few hundred years apart from in the voodoo communities of Louisiana. So, he was part of a voodoo community, as well as being a paedophile. I'm sorry, but the man probably deserved to die. He said, his gaze holding hers a long minute, the air crackling with the hatred burning between them. I still don't understand how I can help you, officer. Let's be honest, I don't give a fuck about the pervert. She said, her voice level and hard with anger. I have looked for you for over 300 years, after you deserted me, left me halfway through our ceremony, when your family sold us out to further your own interests. I was the only one that survived that night, and that's only because the mob you sent didn't see me, as I hid in the crypt. Before she knew it, his hand was grasping her throat, with his long, strong fingers holding her face absolutely still as the flaming heat in his eyes bored into her soul. It took every bit of strength he had not to sink his teeth into her lovely neck and drain every ounce of blood from her body. Don't lie to me. When will you learn I can see your lies? His face rigid with anger, his teeth flashing brilliant white between his grimacing lips. All of my brethren were butchered that night. The smell of their burning flesh still haunts my dreams. You will pay for their suffering. Tonight. Now. Jennifer gasped desperately for breath as his grip tightened. Frantically, she reached into her pocket, removing the bottle. She fumbled it as she struggled to remove the lid. Panic flooded through her body as she felt the veil of unconsciousness moving over her mind. Her eyes closing, she weakly managed to drop some of the clear content over Andrew's hand. His skin seared as soon as the clear liquid made contact, gently smouldering. Fucking hell, woman! He screamed in agony. That's two of those scars your fucking family have given me, and it will be the last. Lashing out with his hand, the back of it hitting her hard across the jaw, sending her reeling backward. Nursing his still smouldering hand, the rage of anger moved through his body as he stalked Jenny across the room. It had been so long since he'd fought like this. Centuries. The adrenaline coursing through his veins, a bloodlust stronger than ever before, filling his body with needy desire. For the first time in years, his tailored pants stretched with his growing erection. Pulling a crucifix out of her other pocket and holding it steady in front of him, forcing him to keep away. The repulsion of the church and all it had done to his family filling his mind. Centuries of reluctance of even approaching a church, keeping him where he was. Drop the crucifix, Detective Hopkins. It's only annoying me, he said in a slow, deliberate tone. Jenny shook her head, refusing his command. Still panting from his attack, she gasped to get her breathing back to normal. Andrew's eyes drifted from the crucifix, watching the rising of her breasts as she panted, her erect nipples just underneath her shirt, and through the vision of bloodlust, that vein of pure hot passion that ran from her neck, through her breasts, her stomach, and the pulsing heat that only he could see burning between her thighs. Entranced by the heat of her desire, his own lust grew, his cock painfully hard with centuries of pent-up need. Without realizing it, Andrew growled low and hard, a sound full of animal desire, of lust, of need. Suddenly aware that her eyes were no longer on his face, but somewhere much lower, Andrew grinned at the wildfire growing between her legs, the way her tongue caressed her lips, that lust that filled her mind. Forcing her eyes back to his face, she gasped, "You deserted me on our day, our night. You bastard. You left me cursed, neither one or the other. I was left existing between both worlds. Your family sold us out. I've seen the paperwork. Your family told the church exactly what was happening in exchange for our land," he said, taking a step forward, forcing her backwards. "We never got any land. We were all butchered that night, apart from me." Tears welling in her eyes at the memory that never faded, never left her mind. Another step forward. Jenny took a step back, her back forced against the glass doors of the patio. "That's not what the paperwork said. Whether they betrayed you or not, your family's intention was to sell us out that night." His eyes hungrily caressing every curve of her body. Memories of that night flooding back. She was the only human he considered worthwhile back then. The only woman he had wanted to share his fate with. "I don't know anything about that. We were going to be forever entwined that night. If they sold you out, they would have sold me out as well, so it doesn't make sense," she whispered, a single tear drifting down her cheek at the memory of that night, how all her dreams were lost in a matter of hours. He was everything she had wanted, and it was taken from her. Her future gone as she was left to roam the earth alone. Another step forward. Centuries of lust, of sexual desire, overcoming the reluctance created by a simple crucifix. Reaching up, almost gently with one finger, Andrew caressed the tear from Jenny's cheek, studying it on the tip of his finger, before turning his burning gaze toward Jenny. "How can I trust you?" he whispered. "I can smell your desire, your need. My bloodlust can see the passion burning through every vein of your body. But how do I know I can let my guard down with you?" Pushing the pad of his thumb across the side of her head as his fingers entwined in her hair, letting the crucifix drop to the floor, Jenny's hand inadvertently brushed the front of his pants, stroking his hard erection just beneath the material. The erection that she had been promised. The erection she wanted inside her in so many ways. It was meant to be hers, and whatever happened that night, she had been cheated of 3 centuries of that hard cock inside her. Damn, she was pissed. "Finish what you started that night. Make me yours, for now forever. Entwine us and save me from this purgatory you cast me into." She glared at him, defying him to deny her what she knew he had promised. She was so fragile, so soft, so fucking breakable. It would only take Andrew a mere few seconds to leave her a lifeless body of nothing but skin and bones. Yet her eyes, her delicate flesh in the provocative way she was touching him, was driving him mad with need. The need he hadn't felt for far too long. Reaching past her, Andrew opened the door onto the balcony, ushering Jenny into the night air. "Very well. But once I take you, the same as before, there will be no turning back. We shall be entwined." "Yes," she gasped, the words she had been waiting for centuries to hear, the last words she expected to hear tonight. For the split of a second, something tightened in his chest, which was absurd because he didn't allow himself to have such feelings. With the urgency of 3 centuries of waiting funneling into his body, his erection was achingly hard, but not near as hard as it would be in a few minutes. Grasping at Jenny's shirt, he ripped it open with the harsh kiss of the icy night air, forcing a loud moan from her lips. She pushed her breast forward wantonly, aching for this beast to touch them, to make her feel his desire. Andrew stepped closer, his hand lifting to her face where he kissed her deep and hard, dragging his growing incisors over her tongue as they breathed each other's desires. His hand grasped her breast roughly, forcing them out of her bra, his fingernails dragging along her burning nubs. Memories flooded her mind of how much she wanted this, how much she ached for this. Lifting a breast in one hand, he dropped his head, dragging his incisors along that nipple, making her shriek with pleasure before biting it. His hand lowered, forcing the stitching on the button of her skirt to break in one harsh movement. The cold night air pummeling her pussy as her skirt fell to the floor. Eagerly, his fingers pushed her panties to one side, exploring her damp folds, probing inside with delightful precision as he teased that spot that caused her legs to shake. Her fingers grasped his dark hair, pulling him tight against her, urging him on, urging him deeper. His free hand moved around her, his long fingers grasping the cheek of her ass, pulling her onto his fingers as they thrust into her wet pussy. Already Jenny could feel a lust dripping hotly down her thighs, her need to come burning inside, her need to succumb, her need to become his. Standing proud, Andrew looked more dominant, stronger. Running his fingers through her hair, he held her head tightly before kissing her again. Jenny's hands moved to his belt buckle and fastening his pants and trying to wrap her fingers around his growing cock, stroking her hand roughly up and down his shaft, forcing a growl deep within his chest. Andrew turned her and bent her over the banister, her hair blowing in the night air as she stared at the city below. He parted her thighs, forcing his cock hard and deep inside of her. And then he stopped, with his cock fully inside. His hand grasping her throat, he pulled her head back next to his lips tenderly kissing her neck before he whispered, "Are you ready?" "Yes," she moaned, years of desperate frustration coming to a head in this one moment. His other hand moved down her stomach, his thumb rolling over her clit and forcing pleasure to move through her body, as he leaned over and closed his mouth over the delicate flesh of her neck. He bit hard, tasting the delicious metallic tang of her blood, which had its cock swelling inside of her with the satisfaction of his bloodlust. He began thrusting into her slick heat, her lips stretching around his girth as he pushed harder. Her lips stretching around his girth as he pushed harder, deeper, bottoming out with every endless thrust. Drinking her blood, his hand rubbed her clit viciously as he fucked her like an animal possessed. Jenny moaned softly, then louder, grabbing at the railing for support, charging the fire even more inside of him. He fucked into her again and again, lust burning through them both as her orgasm burned up her body. The fire of desire spiraling from head to foot. The flame spinning faster and faster, hotter and hotter, until it exploded on her clit, sending an earthquake of an orgasm shuddering through her. Turning her quickly, Andrew dropped to his knees and sucked on the hard nub of her clit with wicked desire, dragging his teeth along it as his fingers pushed inside her still trembling pussy. It was impossible for Jenny to decide if a new orgasm started or the last one just continued as his licking and sucking pushed her over the edge and her body exploded in another beautiful orgasm that forced her head backwards. The stars in the night sky becoming a blur as the loss of blood and intense orgasm clouded her mind. Standing up and holding her tightly, Andrew pirouetted them both so his back was against the railing. "Heal yourself," he commanded. Dropping to her knees, Jenny submitted to his command and took his swollen cock between her lips, wrapping her tongue around him before sliding her lips up and down his long shaft. His first drops of pre-cum teasing down her throat, giving Jenny energy. As she stretched her lips around his throbbing erection, taking him deeper and deeper, Andrew grasped her hair in both hands as his body tensed, his balls painfully tightening as his body roared with the need to release. Andrew drew in a deep breath, then fucked into her mouth viciously with frenzy wild pulses until it was there, right there. Fuck, fuck. Andrew pulsed thick jets of warm cum into Jenny's throat while she continued sucking hungrily, desperately, feeling the energy returning to her body, the wounds of her neck closing up and healing as she drained the last drops of cum from his hard cock. Adrenaline rushed through her body as she dragged her newly growing incisors along the length of his cock, forcing a loud growl from his body of blissful pleasure. Keeping his hands in her hair, he lifted her up to his chest and held her tight for a moment before whispering, "Let's seal this now, baby girl." Sliding one fingernail across his chest and cutting his flesh, a line of blood trickled out. Jenny drank hungrily, wantingly, feeling her body transforming, entwining with his soul, becoming his while something new filled Andrew's chest, a sensation he'd never expected to feel again. The promise of tomorrow, hope, love, and never being alone again. The chill of the night air disappeared as he held her tightly, the sounds of the city below echoing around them as they remained in the warm glow of their cocoon. Kissing her forehead, his fingers traced up and down her spine, causing her back to arch. Here it begins, 3 centuries late, but it begins nonetheless. So, I hope you enjoyed my little bedtime vampire story, and you're tingling in all the right places now. Now, Halloween is just weeks away, so let's make it a particularly wild one. Now, next week, I'm going to try something new. Listener Request Week. So why not email me at devlin@wilddesires.com with any ideas you have. It really doesn't matter if it's a full story you've written or just something that you find particularly sexy. And one lucky listener will get to hear their desire right here. Of course, I'm not going to say what their name is when I do it, but you can have your desire right here on the podcast. But until next Sunday, when you could be listening to your wildest desires right here, and always with your pleasure in mind, this is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams. Now, as you have enjoyed this show this evening, you can go ahead and subscribe to my podcast so you don't miss another salacious episode. And you know you can go ahead and visit me at wilddesires.com and grab your own free experiential erotic story just for coming.